Gates Presbyterian Church, and whether this is your first time in worship or you've been here your whole life, we are glad you found your way to this worshiping community. Take a look at your bulletin. It has announcements and also opportunities for worship and fellowship, mission, and learning. If you have any questions, there will be an elder at the communion table following worship to receive any of your questions. So, two notes about our day today. This morning is Stewardship Sunday. Hopefully, if you did not have a chance to grab your pledge card out of the junk mail you had piled up on your countertop, the ushers handed you one. Prayerfully consider your gift for 2019. Just go ahead and place those in the offering plates when we receive it this morning. Also, I know many of you are looking forward to the opportunity for a congregational conversation. We will have the postlude today, and then go grab a cup of coffee and come on back. We will get started about 10 minutes after service ends. And for those who need childcare for that, Anne is going to stay down in the childcare room today. All right, a few other announcements. Let's start over here.
Good morning. Today, right after the congregational conversation, the young adults are going to meet at Pixley's for lunch. We're just going to leave straight from here. So if you would like to come have brunch and have GPC pick up your tab, I would love to have you join me. Also today, because of the congregational conversation, there's no junior high or senior high Sunday school. And the junior highs need to sign up for Church Mouse, if possible. We have a very empty space between 9 and 11 in the morning to serve drinks. So if you would like to do that, please sign up today. Thanks.
Good morning, Eric Vail. I'm here on behalf of our renewal team, which we thought we were all done and retired and we'd just move on to things, but that's not the case. Next Sunday after worship, there'll be a second hour opportunity. There's some folks that went to Stony Point on a retreat, and they really want to share with you their stories and what they brought back with them. So please come after worship. I know there'll be cake for a celebration, so get your cake, come back, listen to what it was all about to be a part of the Stony Point retreat. And also the renewal team will be there, or at least part of us, to answer any questions or thoughts that you might have about the renewal process. So hope to see you then.
Linda.
Good morning. I'm Linda Beatty and
Tess McKeel.
We're the co-chair persons, of the Church Mouse Bazaar, and we have our Church Mouse with us. I do want to remind you that the bazaar is next Saturday, 9 to 3:30, here in the church, the entire church. And that means we do need some help on Friday night, taking everything out of the classrooms and putting it in the sanctuary, which is quite a job. That starts about 6 or 6:30. Whenever you can come, it's appreciated. We also need more baked goods, so please, if you can, sign up on the kiosk or just bring things on Friday. Friday night is good, so they can be marked, or you can mark them. There are some sheets out on the kiosk that tell you the prices, so they can be marked for Saturday. Let's see, there is still some spots that possibly could be used if you want to talk about helping out during the day, either as a hostess or at the baked food sale. You can contact me, and I can give you some names. And I think we're in pretty good shape. Also, but we have to put all the furniture back in the church classrooms on Saturday afternoon. That it occurs about 4 o'clock. So if you can help with that, we would appreciate it too.
And then also, if you are donating any food for the snack bar, if you could get that donated by Friday night also, so they can have that ready to go on Saturday.
And please come, because it is a great craft show. Arts and crafts handmade by these people that are amazing artisans. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And also a word of thanks for all of the volunteers who came yesterday to help distribute food from the Food Link truck. It was an incredible showing of Gates Presbyterian Church members, friends, and also volunteers from the larger community, a great opportunity to share God's abundance with those who are in need. And now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
If you would please stand as you are able and join in the call to worship. Unless our God builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless our God watches over the city, those who watch stand guard in vain. The widow who gives her last coin, and Naomi and Ruth, who are lifelong companions for each other, remind us of the risks we are free to take with confidence that God will take care of us through times of plenty and times of want, all along our journey through life. So let us celebrate this gathering which can bind us together. Give thanks for our neighbors with God's people here and throughout the world. Let us worship God.
Celebrating the goodness of God, we also recognize the shortcomings in our lives, both individually and communally. Let us bring our prayers of confession to God and one another. Generous God, we don't want to acknowledge that it is often those with the least who give the most. It embarrasses us each time we are reminded of people like Naomi, Ruth, and the poor widow, women living on the edge of survival, thinking about the future of others, even when they feel they have no future themselves. Our tendencies are to other those who have the most to teach us. Convict us to act in the name of Jesus Christ for justice and mercy, just as you have shown toward all. Remind us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, even with all that we have. Perhaps because of what we have, we need help to live faithfully. Take heart. God gives new life, even to those who hold back from giving fully of themselves or think God has abandoned them. We are restored to God and each other, knowing that God will provide without limit. And at this time, the children are welcome to come forward.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness, there is quite the love sandwich going on up here. And what are you guys doing? Sitting on each other. I love it, yes, with all sorts of giggles and laughter. You know what I have loved the most about this Mr. Rogers series we have done in worship? Is hearing his songs and hearing your laughter. Because you know what? Each of your giggles sound differently. And they are so beautiful because God gave you those giggles that are unique to you, aren't they? And God likes to say that God likes us just as we are. Can I show you our last Mr. Rogers video this morning? Because he has the same message for us. Okay, so make sure, even with your cuddle train over here, that you can see what's going on. All right, so this is one of the very first episodes of Mr. Rogers. So it's going to look a little different because, well, way back when the dinosaurs were, they didn't have color in their televisions. So you'll just have to imagine. Are you ready? Okay, there he is.
A grandmother friend of mine gave me this swing. Mm-hmm. Oh, I had a different one before. It was kind of small, and I had it way out in the yard, so I was never able to show it to you. But this one I can. How do you feel about new things? Sure. What about growing? You like to grow, don't you? That's sort of like going up and feeling different inside. Well, however you feel about it, I like you exactly as you are. I like you as you are, exactly and precisely. I think you turned out nicely, and I like you as you are. I do. I like you as you are, without a doubt or question, or even a suggestion, 'cause I like you as you are. I like your disposition, your facial composition, and with your kind permission, I'll shout it to a star. I like you as you are. I wouldn't want to change you or even rearrange you, not by far. Mm-mm. I like you, I-L-I-K-E-Y-O-U. I like you, yes I do. I like you, Y-O-U. I do. I like you as you are. Certainly do.
And one of the messages that we are going to hear today in the Bible are the ways that God indeed likes each and every one of us just as we are. And we have a chance to give those pieces of us, including the giggles and apparently pieces of paper, that are the way God created us to be. Can we pray together? That'd be good? All right. Can you guys pray sitting like that? You got it? All right. Ready? I want to be able to hear you. Dear God, thank you for making me me. Amen. All right, you guys have fun in Sunday school this morning, okay? Do you want your piece of paper back, Freya? There you go. No? Yes? Okay. Okay. Goodbye, Everett.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Now, sometime later, Naomi said to Ruth, "I must find a husband for you so that you will have a home of your own. Remember that this man Boaz, whose women you have been working with, is our relative. Now listen. This evening he will be threshing the barley. So go and wash yourself and put on perfume and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go where he is threshing, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. Be sure to notice where he lies down, and after he falls asleep, go and lift the covers and lie down at his feet. He will tell you what to do." And Ruth answered, "I will do everything you say." So Boaz took Ruth home as his wife. The Lord blessed her, and she became pregnant and had a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise the Lord! He has given you a grandson today to take care of you. May the boy become famous in Israel. Your daughter-in-law loves you and has done more for you than seven sons. And now she has given you a grandson who will bring new life to you and give you security in your old age." Naomi took the child, held him close, and took care of him. The women of the village named the boy Obed. They told everyone, "A son has been born to Naomi." And Obed became the father of Jesse, who was the father of David.
Amen. Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. And Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury, and many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. And then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." So as we wrap up our sermon series on the faith and theology of Mr. Rogers this morning, I came across the trailer for the documentary that came out this summer. It does such a great job talking about the ministry of Mr. Rogers. I wanted to share it with you today.
Station WQED in Pittsburgh. Its host, Fred Rogers.
Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
I want to tell you something.
What would you like to tell?
I like you.
I like you, my dear. Thank you very much for telling me that.
You take all of the elements that make good television and do the exact opposite. You have Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Low production values, simple set, unlikely star. Yet, it worked.
Hello.
I've always felt that I didn't need to put on a funny hat or jump through the hoop to have a relationship with a child.
He was always trying to get a message across in every show.
A week on death.
What does assassination mean?
On divorce.
Some people get married and after a while they're so unhappy that they don't want to be married anymore.
He was radical. I know everyone says that, but he was radical.
They didn't want black people to come and swim in their swimming pools. By being on the program was a statement for Fred.
A neighborhood was a place where at times that you felt worried, scared, unsafe, would take care of you.
He had a singular vision of kindness and love.
Love is at the root of everything. All learning, all relationships, love or the lack of it.
Children have very deep feelings, just the way everybody does. There must be times when you do feel blue. I'm not feeling blue right now, though.
Me neither.
Won't you be my neighbor? Well, I suppose it's an invitation. It's an invitation for somebody to be close to you. The greatest thing that we can do is to help somebody know that they're loved and capable of loving.
Won't you please, won't you please, please won't you be my neighbor?
And that documentary is now out in DVD, and I have a copy if anyone would like to borrow it. But I'll tell you, when the director, Morgan Neville, set out to make this film, he said that he didn't want to make a film that was just about the biography of Fred Rogers. That'll actually come next summer with Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers in You Are My Friend. So this documentary was more about the ideas of Mr. Rogers. And Neville knew that he would need the Rogers family buy-in for this film, which came with one caveat. It was Mrs. Rogers who told Neville, "Don't make Fred a saint." And the director goes on to say in the interview that because Fred's struggle was often against people who didn't take him seriously and understand the profundity of his message, treating him like a saint keeps him two-dimensional. His mission was to tell us that we all struggle. And he doesn't exist on another plane. He labored incredibly hard to fight for grace. You see, by putting Mr. Rogers on a pedestal, we make him out of reach, distinct and different in such a radical way that we actually can't begin to imagine ourselves alongside him. Because what he presents is often more than we can give or more than we can imagine we are capable of giving. Mr. Rogers himself actually wrote about this when he received a letter from a parent. This parent wrote to him, "Dear Mr. Rogers, how do you do it? I wish I were like you. I want to be patient and quiet and even-tempered. And I always want to speak respectfully to my children, but that's just not my personality. I often lose my patience and even scream at my children." That sounds like a letter I might have written to Mr. Rogers. You see, because there's this glaring reality of just getting caught up in all the ways that other people give of their lives. And then it makes us feel a little inadequate in ours. And so herein lies one of the dangers of holding up some of the more traditional ways of reading the gospel this morning. Preachers approach the Gospel of Mark and these verses every 3 years on Stewardship Sunday, just like a public radio fund campaign. A leptin for leptin match, no matter how small, right, will make a difference. Those sermons include how Jesus praises the poor widow who gives all that she had, lifts her up as an example of profound generosity and faith. Those two small coins equal far more than the larger sums of those given by the wealthy that Mark says give out of their abundance. So there's also another direction preachers have taken this text. To be honest, it tends to rub a majority of middle and upper class white Christians in this nation the wrong way, because it swings in the other direction by emphasizing how Jesus wasn't putting this woman on a pedestal as a stewardship example. He was, in fact, tearing down the existing religious and political structures, vying for power that caused this woman's circumstances to begin with. And his harsh words are actually taking to task the political economy of the temple that demands that the poor bear the weight of taxes that only benefit the wealthy. And so in doing so, Jesus was calling attention to the empty rituals that have become pretty perfunctory ceremonies, marking questionable status and shallow piety. And to do so presents this scene in such familiar ways to either direction. We've heard both of these sermons. I've preached both of these sermons, and they tend to lull us and our imagination into apathy. Still, both of them being reminders of our inadequacy. And then nothing changes. So I wonder what would happen if we were to break these cycles of approaching this passage with self-defeat and separation and try it another way. This is just a small shift in our perspective. that is faithful to the context of the story and helps us maybe imagine ourselves in it a bit differently. The Reverend Dr. Emily Towns, professor of womanist ethics and society at Vanderbilt Divinity School, offers that we might instead imagine ourselves in this story as the two small copper coins. You see, in Jesus' time, these Greek coins were called lepton, or lepta in the plural, and they were minted in copper and bronze. And professional coin collectors today seem to believe that this was probably the lowest denomination coin ever created by any nation in all of history. These coins, in fact, are so common that even today, Palestinian children venture out into the Judean hillsides after it rains to find the coins, because they still emerge when the earth gets washed away. And then the children sell these coins. You can find them all over the place in Israel and Palestine. They sell them in shops, or quite often you'll have children come directly up to you and try to sell them as you pass by. The fact that they're so common, that they're everywhere, that they feel so insignificant, maybe this is why we've never really paid much attention to these coins themselves. But we know that the gospel writer Mark does not write such details without having something in mind, that these coins represent so much more than just money in this story. Towns notes that they represent faith and belief, and how these must be lived out in our lives as concrete acts and not solely by ritual that no longer hold religious power. So I'm going to say something that may not be the most popular thing to say, but I am going to wager, just a guess, that for some of you, this concept of Stewardship Sunday reeks of that ritual that no longer holds religious power for you. Because, right, didn't Jesus call those scribes out for their showy acts of pious behavior? I'm not oblivious to this connection for some. You may not care even one lepton about Stewardship Sunday being a thing. But I do know that you care about being faith-filled offerings by presenting all of who you are and all that you hope to be to God for service in the world. That was the central message for the gospel and for the Reverend Fred Rogers. He didn't seek to be lifted up on a pedestal. He would be the first to remind us that he was not all things to all people. Mr. Rogers would talk about himself and say that he just gave all of who God created him to be, his strengths, his weaknesses, his advantages, his limitations. But his whole life was given in service to the world and to God. He would remind us, not so that we could be more like him, but so that we can hear the invitation to embody how we live out our faith with all of who God created each and every one of us to be. No matter how insignificant that may seem sometimes. But God and Jesus over and over again taught that we are the offering that we share with others. So we don't need to put ourselves up on a pedestal or anyone else up there for this to be real. All we have to do is look around. As real and as common as the lepta are on Judean hillsides, So are the ways that we can bring all of who we are into how we live as people of faith. And I was incredibly moved recently by a story that came out of a pastor in Mexico City. She talks about this poor community who really embodied this understanding. She was at an outdoor mass where people were setting up plastic chairs and wooden benches in a circle around a brightly dressed altar. And when the time came for the offering, people actually got in line, and they were carrying what appeared to be small plastic bags filled with a whitish substance. And as the music began to play, each person stepped forward and poured the contents of their bag into coffee cans that were on the table. And she noticed that it was rice. Each person was pouring a small quantity of raw rice into cans that would soon be filled to the brim. And after everyone had sat back down, the offertory prayer was given and worship continued. And afterward, the priest explained that every day, every family takes at least one spoonful of rice and puts it aside. And this doesn't add to anyone's hunger, he noted, but it makes a difference for those who receive one of those cans. Usually someone in a home where a person was ill or had died. And this practice of setting aside spoonfuls of rice wove giving into everyone's daily routine. A reminder that your neighbor's daily bread was part of your own, something you remembered each time you cooked or even picked up a spoon. And it made a difference, because it was a pattern embraced by the whole community, connecting their communion around the table to the tables in their neighbors' homes. So the real question was not how much was being given, which does put certain people up on pedestals and can create meaningless religious ritual and even reinforce exploitive economic systems. But the question is, how does the ordinary, the everyday, the small coins, the grains of rice, the living out of everyday lives, presenting all of who we are and all we hope to become to God for service in the world? This is the question that I believe the gospel invites us to respond to, not just on Stewardship Sunday, but in fact every day of our lives. Because our faith-filled offering, no matter how small, presents all of who we are, all we hope to become to God and for service in this world. May it be so. Amen. As we gather in this place, we indeed bring all of who we are, and we bring those prayers of joy, those prayers of concern, and we share them together in community so that we might pray for one another in the upcoming week. If you have a prayer of joy or concern, just wave your hand, let us know who you are, and an usher will bring a microphone to you.
Hi, Julie Lewis. I'd like to ask for prayers for my cousin and our family. My cousin and his wife live in Paradise, California. We know that their house is gone, and we don't know where they are.
Prayers, Julie, for your cousin and family.
Andrea Unson, prayers for my mom. She got a clean bill of health from her doctor. She is cancer-free. Thank you for all of your prayers.
Thanks God be bless. To God. Amen.
Usually I'm Sue Mancini. Right now I'm Kate Stanford. I have an announcement that she wanted everyone to be aware of, that although for us this is Stewardship Sunday, this is also Veterans Day, and that she wanted everyone to be aware that WXXI Classical Channel 91.5 has a program that explains what this day means to the veterans, and to explain what the red poppies are, which a lot of people do not know the significance. It's an excellent program. She'd like everyone to listen that's interested in the background of today is Veterans Day. Thank you.
Got one here, here. We'll go over here, Sally.
Sally Christensen. Steve and I would ask prayers for both of our moms right now. Steve's mother is moving from rehab into a senior facility this week. We're traveling up there tomorrow to help her. Liver failure, kidney failure, congestive heart failure, and she keeps plugging along. But and my mother is still recovering from urinary tract infection and a stroke that she had in October. So it's taken her back a few notches. Prayers appreciated.
Prayers for Sally and Steve for both of your moms.
Linda Sidori, my uncle, 94 years old, passed away this week, and I just ask for prayers for the family.
Prayers, Linda, for the death in of your uncle. Saw a hand up here, and is there another one? There and there. We'll go Irene first, and we'll get it up here, I promise.
I'd just like to say thank you to this congregation on a couple of things. The way they have responded to Peter and all the good wishes for him. And the passing of my brother in England. I mean, they were just amazing at things that people wrote. And it meant a lot to me. Thank you.
You're welcome. And prayers continue for you both.
Gary Dykes, I'd just like to say thank you for everyone that helped out in many different ways with me, with Carrie. It was just great to not have to worry about what I was going to try to make for supper or just the cards and everything from Carrie. She's doing wonderful, and it's I almost can't believe a week ago that she was barely moving, and today you wouldn't hardly know anything, so thank you, thank you, thank you.
I'm Jenny Deacon. I'm a new member. I ask your prayers for my lifelong friend, Clara, who's battling colon cancer, and another friend, Patty Strieber. Thank you.
Prayers for Clara and Patty.
Donna Schott, I would like to piggyback on Sue's comment about Veterans Day today, and just would like to thank all those veterans who have being at Stewardship Sunday, who have given so much, and some of them the ultimate, and just thank all the veterans. Thank you.
Thanks be to God. And also prayers this morning, not seeing any other hands, prayers this morning from our children, prayers of joy for there not being school tomorrow, prayers of joys and concerns for snow, prayers for not feeling well after jumping on trampolines, and the children also raise their prayers of thanksgiving for the veterans among us today. Let us continue our time of prayer. Gracious God, that for you the many gifts you have given us, for our friends and family, for a place to worship you in peace. For this, your church, that is the community gathered and sent to do your work in the world. We are brought together and unified by your love for us, but often still live as divided people, anxious to hang on so tightly to what we think we deserve. These past few weeks, as the election cycle continued to shine a light on our brokenness, may your light shine on the ways we can move forward working together for freedom and peace, the kind that you long for, O God, for all your people. And on this day, we remember all the men and women who answered the call of their country to fight for such peace, and those who never returned home. We pray for their families and their loved ones. As our hearts are quieted in this moment, we hold in prayer the veterans for whom the screams of death and warfare forever ring in their ears. God of compassion, we also lift to you in prayer those who are crying out in pain and loss. For the people of Thousand Oaks, California, bring healing to those suffering from the effects of gun violence. Comfort those who are mourning the dead. And wildfires have brought destruction to our sisters and brothers in the surrounding communities, God, and we grieve the loss of lives there, of homes and livelihoods. Please send your spirit to the broken places of their lives and lead us to the place where hope reigns again. May the gift of new life in your Son, Jesus, keep us in these days and always. And we pray together the prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we now, in fact, give out of the abundance that God has entrusted to us as stewards or caretakers of God's creation. May our commitments to that ongoing work be reflected in our gifts and our lives. Let us receive the morning offering.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have heard the words of your blessed Son, Jesus, who said, "I tell you the truth, whatever you have done for one of the least of my sisters or brothers, you have done it for me." Help us, gracious God, to see you in the needs that confront us daily. Help us to see you in those who are weak and lonely, who are hungry and afraid. And as we offer ourselves to those who need love, may we know that we are serving you. We ask you to grant us the courage of generosity. For on my own, what I have to give is so little in the light of all you have given to me, and in the face of so much need. But together, as a congregation, what we offer you here in love becomes more, not simply added together, but somehow multiplied in its usefulness. We ask you to bless our gifts, and with the miracle of your blessing, just as it was with the loaves and the fishes, let there be enough for all. Amen.